pregnant. Did you even sleep last night? Or did you just drink yourself into a stupor? Philip searched the table for something else to drink, and I smacked the beer bottle he found out of his hand. It flew across the room and shattered against the baseboard near the kitchen. He stood as if to challenge me, even though he definitely fucking knew better.
What's your problem? I'm home. I should celebrate.
He shrugged his thin shoulders. He had lost a considerable amount of weight, especially muscle, since I had seen him last, and something about him was drastically different, even beyond his physical appearance. Celebrate being home with your wife and unborn child, yeah. Not by trashing Karina's place. How did you get home in the first place? You had months left. Phillips eyed me in a way I'd only seen him do in a war setting. If I was anyone else, I would probably be intimidated by his behavior.
Wouldn't you like to know? Now isn't the time to get so technical. You've gotten awfully close to the Fisher family. What the fuck is up with that? Curious what made you switch sides, and if it has to do with the hot...
Do not fucking finish that sentence. Watch your mouth. I interrupted him before he said something that could risk his life. He raised his hands, grinning again.
I'm joking, bro. Don't be so sensitive. She is hot, though.
I gritted my teeth, keeping my balled fists at my sides and trying to keep the shaking to a minimum.
I got home exactly like you did.
He tapped his finger against his right temple.
For being too fucked up to stay.
Philip stood up, swaying a bit, and made a move to clean up.
You're not being very hospitable, Martin. You're not even happy to see me,
he said, confusion on his drunk face. Because when you're wasted, you're not you. When I finished the sentence, he closed his eyes and began to laugh. I've never been afraid of a motherfucker in my entire life, but I'd be lying if I didn't admit that a chill went down my spine at the sound he made, mixed with the look on his face. He felt like a stranger, like something in him had cracked in the months since I saw him last. He was never perfect, but he tried to do his best by me, by our platoon. But he wasn't the same man who'd pulled me out of a burning tank, or who'd sung old country songs to distract us during our long treks through the desert.
And you're not you. How could we be? Now come sit with me and celebrate that we're both back and alive.
Phillips dropped back down on the couch and patted the empty seat next to him.
For now,
he smiled. His humor had always been dark, but now it felt too real. I couldn't get a grip on how to handle him, and that was what I was usually the best at, handling people. I'd known Phillips longer than Karina and Fisher, but it didn't seem that way right now. He was like a stranger to me, and that felt dangerous. I glanced down the hall, but didn't hear anything coming from Karina's room where Elodie, Karina, and Fisher were, so I assumed they were okay. If anything had happened, Karina would have gotten me by now. I sat down next to Phillips and pressed my elbows on my knees to stop them from bouncing. Let's get some air before you clean this mess up. I tugged on his arm and gently pulled him from the couch. Did something happen with you and Elodie? I asked him. Another attempt to gauge what he knew and didn't. He sighed as we sat on the edge of the half-demolished porch. His eyes were small compared to the strong bones of his face, and his cheeks were more sunken in than they had been the last time I saw him. His pupils were blown out from the alcohol, and thin red veins filled the usual white of his eyes.
Something's been happening. Lots of shit.
But now I'm here, and I thought we could figure it out together. She's different now. I don't know what changed.
She used to be so happy and carefree, but now she's full of stress and always worried about shit. Instead of me, she's focusing on work, the baby.
I stopped him. She should be worried about the baby, and so should you. Instead of coming home and getting drunk, you should be spending time with your wife and figuring this shit out together.
She wouldn't even fuck me, man. She's acting like she doesn't know me.
I dropped my head into my hands. He couldn't be fucking serious. Let me get this straight. You came home, I looked into his eyes, forcing him to keep eye contact with me, and immediately tried to have sex with your pregnant wife, who hasn't seen you in months, and from what it seems, you guys hadn't been on good terms.
What do you know about that? What did she tell you?
Nothing. You just did. No way in hell was I going to tell him a word about what Karina had told me about the two of them fighting on Skype lately.
Hmm,
he said. You know damn well that most people don't get home and rush right to the fucking bed. Especially in this situation. It's fucked up that you put that pressure on her.
She's my wife.
He defended himself with a snarl. Exactly. So why the fuck aren't you respecting her? Philip sat on my words for a few seconds before he spoke.
I don't know. I just wanted to touch my wife and she freaked out. Not getting why I got pissed and acting like I'm a goddamn alien or some shit.
Give her time, I told him, ignoring the fact that his wife was clearly in love with another man, and we would all have to figure out what the fuck was going to happen with that. He closed his eyes again and tilted his head to the port ceiling.
This time feels so different, Martin. This was my third time coming back, but it feels at odds this time, and not from the booze. My head is all over the place, like I don't know where I am or who anyone is anymore. Even you.
This was more like the man I knew and cared deeply about. Being over there and then coming home is like being in a car wreck. One minute, you know exactly what you're doing, where you're headed, and then you're suddenly back and everything is upside down, body mangled, thoughts scattered like a broken windshield, mental scars for the rest of your life. That's normal. Well, not fucking normal for regular people, but for us, it's normal. You've barely been back for 24 hours, and no matter how many times we go, it doesn't become normal. It never will. A little bit of us dies each time. I've tried to accept that, and it's made it easier, but give yourself and your wife some grace. I bent the truth. Nothing made it easier except Karina, but that wasn't what he needed to hear right now. On top of that, you didn't have a family or any responsibilities except keeping yourself alive before. Life is different now. You're different now. We all are. Phillips' shoulders began to shake, and he started to dry heave. He was crying hysterically within seconds, and I did my best to comfort the man I once knew. It took a few minutes to convince him, but he eventually agreed to let me take him to my place so we could get some real rest and give Elodie some space. He fell asleep on the way there, and I practically carried him into the house. He mumbled something about bloody hands as I helped him lie down on my couch. I waited a few minutes until he was snoring to make my way back to Karina's.
Chapter 7. Karina. Elodie's body, curled into a ball on my bed, made me instantly burst into tears. I didn't know what, if anything, had happened, but my nerves were so tight and Phillips was obviously drunk as hell, so it couldn't have gone well. Hey. I went to her side as my brother moved past me, getting to her first. He lifted her up, pulling her onto his lap. Their physical contact didn't bother me, maybe because of the stress we were all under, but it didn't feel as weird to see it as I had imagined it would. She wrapped her arms around his neck and buried her face in his hoodie, her entire body shaking with silent sobs. "Did he hurt you?" my brother asked her. I held my breath. "No, I'm okay." I sighed in relief as she replied. My brother held her closely but was inspecting her body, her cheeks, her wrists, all the go-to spots for bruising. He seemed to accept her answer as the truth and rubbed her back as she slowly calmed down. "I'm so sorry," Elodie gasped into Austin's neck. She turned to look at me. "And Karina, I'm so sorry. This mess is my fault." I moved over to sit by them on the bed and ran my hand over the back of her hair. "This isn't your fault. This is... well, it's a mess, but there's no point in blaming yourself right now. No one knew he was going to come home like this. You didn't have time to figure out what you were going to do or to prepare." I looked at Austin so he would know I was speaking to them both. After a few more minutes, Elodie gained enough strength to sit up on her own, but she stayed close to my brother. The sleeve and neck on her shirt were stretched out, like someone had yanked on them. "What happened to your shirt?" I asked, alarming my brother. She awkwardly tugged the fabric lightly, fingering the loose hem of the neckline first. "It's nothing, I just..." She fumbled with a lie, her eyes darting back and forth between me and my brother. I wanted to ask him to leave and give us a second, but after last night I realized they are closer than I imagined. Closer than her and me. Cupping her face gently, like she was made of porcelain, Austin said her name slowly. "He thought we were going to... He wanted to, you know." She winced, and my brother's eyes nearly blew out of their sockets. He clutched my bedding with a tight fist, but managed to keep his face and voice calm for Elodie. There was a world of difference between trying to sleep with someone and getting rejected and pulling at their clothing. Did Phillips assault her? The thought made me nauseous. We should have never left her alone with him. It took everything in me not to march into the living room and knock his damn teeth out. I could call the cops, but what good would that do? I hesitated, because not only had Elodie not asked me to, but they were married and this was the South. I wasn't naive enough to not know there was still a disgusting stigma and injustice around what terms like rape or sexual assault within a marriage looked like. "Did he force you?" my brother asked, lips tight, jaw twitching.
"No."
Elodie shook her head.
"He stopped before. He drank way too much and hasn't been home long enough to have any sense. After he rests and sobers up, I'm going to figure out what's next."
There was so much weight to that, to all of the unanswered questions and chaos. But for now, I was simply going to be there for her, no matter what.
Chapter 8. Kale. The familiar smell of Phillips's ACU wouldn't leave my mind as I quietly walked down the hallway to Karina's bedroom. Flashes of bullets blasting from the barrel of an assault rifle, the screams of people on the street as guns and IEDs blasted around them, the sound of flesh being ripped apart, nearly knocked me to my knees. A few more steps and I would see her face and the memories would fade. With a shaking hand, I opened the bedroom door, and the three of them stiffened, immediately locking their eyes on me. Fisher moved between the bed and the door, then relaxed as he realized it was me and not Phillips. Elodie lay back against the headboard, her face red and blotchy, her eyes nearly swollen shut. "Can I come in?" I asked, still in the doorway. Elodie and Karina nodded in unison, and Fisher sat down, notably still blocking Elodie from the doorway. "I took Phillips to my place," I explained. No one said anything, but the relief among them was palpable. My mind quieted as I moved toward Karina. I sat next to her on the edge of the bed and she nearly collapsed into me, leaning her entire body against me. Her hand found mine and I squeezed it.
"You should sleep while he does," Karina advised Elodie.
"We're not ever leaving her alone with him," Fisher said, his chest out and the most serious look I'd ever seen in his usually carefree eyes.
"What's the plan? Technically, he doesn't have anywhere to go. They're still on the waiting list for housing. Is it possible for him to go to a barracks room for now, even though he's married?"
Karina asked me. I shook my head. We would have to have a really good reason, one that would likely get him in trouble, for them to give him a barracks room alone. It's complicated, and unless he did something that you want to report... I looked at Elodie, was clearly miserable beyond words. "Then there's nothing we can do, unless he wants to go somewhere."
"Whose side are you on?"
Karina snapped at me, ripping her hand from mine.
"He can't stay at my house. I didn't even invite him here. He showed up, basically tried to rape her."
Fisher stood up and Elodie winced.
"I think we should report him for attempted assault. Call the MPs and get him out of here."
"It's not that simple. Elodie, what do you want to do? Do you feel safe with him? If not, I will do whatever you need to protect you. But I also need to tell you guys that realistically, the MPs might not do shit. And then he will be even more out of control and angry." Karina looked at me with a disgusted expression. I knew that she understood that I was being realistic. And the last thing she wanted right now was to deal with the reality of how fucked up the system was. so I tried not to even look at her. She could take her anger out on me after we found some sort of solution.
I don't know what I want, Elodie said. I can't even think about it.
Phillips is at your place today, and then what? Karina urged. I knew her anxiety had to be through the roof right now. Then we take it a day at a time. Unless anyone else has a plan. I tried not to take my frustration out on any of them, but that was easier said than done.
But Austin lives with you. Can you handle them both there at the same time?
I wasn't sure if Karina was asking me or her brother, but I answered first. I can handle it, I assured her, slightly annoyed by her question.
As long as he's not with Elodie,
Fisher responded, his voice low but serious. This situation was so beyond fucked. Elodie was Phillips's wife. Whether Fisher was in love with her or not, he couldn't really think he could keep them separated, right? Or did we all need to do that? If Phillips was as aggressive with Elodie as Karina had expressed, he was a danger to all of us, but most importantly, to Elodie and the baby. I ran through scenarios in my head about who in our chain of command I could call about this, but none of them were viable. If someone tried to put him in a barracks room, Phillips would either lose his shit and escalate the situation to a point of no return, or the most likely scenario, no one would give a shit, and Elodie would still be stuck with him. Do you want him to be kept away from you? I asked Elodie. This was her choice, after all, and she hadn't spoken much as we talked around her, about her. She looked at Karina, then at Fisher, and I tried to guide her eyes back to mine. Don't think about what they want. Think about what you want and what's best for your safety, physically and mentally. Karina made a noise and gave me a look that I could easily read as, fuck you, Kale.
I don't know. This all happened so fast. I haven't had time to think about it,
Elodie said in a whisper.
We're safe as long as he doesn't drink. But where will everyone be? I don't want you all worrying about me like this, but I'm afraid.
That's all I needed to hear, I told her. I almost reached for her hand to comfort her, but I wasn't sure that being touched by anyone was what she wanted right now, so I put my hand on my own thigh. The other half of the duplex needs about a week before it's livable, but if we bust our asses, we can get it done. Then Phillips can stay there, and Elodie, you can take your time. Figure out what you want. Right, Fisher? He nodded. His cheeks were red with suppressed emotion, and he was still pacing around the small bedroom. His phone vibrated on Karina's bed next to Elodie's knee, and the letter M was on the screen. The area code wasn't the same as Mendoza's, whom I have thought of first. Fisher grabbed the phone as if it was on fire and flipped it over. Elodie shot him a look that I couldn't interpret. Karina didn't notice, but the two of them glanced at her, then back at each other. Mentally, I filed it away for later. Just how many secrets were these two hiding? Chapter 9. Kale. Let's get some food in you, I told Phillips as he plopped down on my couch. He hadn't eaten since he'd arrived 2 days ago. Lots of sleep. Well, if you counted waking up in hot sweats and screams every 2 hours or so as sleep. I microwaved a bit of lasagna that Karina had dropped off before she went to work, knowing that we wouldn't see each other much for at least a few more days. With everything still left unsettled with Phillips and Elodie, and me trying to keep Elodie's husband from the group for as long as possible in hopes of avoiding him finding out about his wife and Fisher, and Karina taking care of Elodie while trying to manage her brother's shit, we were both booked and cooked emotionally. But still, Karina had thought of me and had brought me a sheet pan full of lasagna. It didn't have meat in it, eggplant instead, which I had never in my life had, but it was fucking good. And even cold, I shoveled it down my throat. As I heated some up for Phillips, I closed my eyes for a second, remembering how sexy she'd looked when she stopped by. She was in her normal work clothes, too tight for her to wear around anyone but me. But I couldn't say that without her cussing me out, so I quietly watched the sway of her thick ass and the brightness in her eyes, even though I knew she had to be so damn tired. And the way she looked at me made me feel starved for her touch. She was at my house for less than 5 minutes, and we were outside the whole time, but I managed to kiss her as many times as humanly fucking possible and kept her in my arms as long as I could. I was fully addicted to her now, and the comfort she brought by simply being around me. The smell of her hair instantly brought my heart rate down. The sound of her voice silenced the screaming ones in my head.
and the thump of her heart beating against mine when I hugged her close made the pain in my throbbing leg fade. When I asked her how Elodie was, she told me she was okay, that the two of them were working double shifts to keep themselves busy until everything settled. Problem was, neither of us knew when or how any of this would be settled. But there we were, hugging and kissing goodbye as if we wouldn't see each other for at least a month. The microwave beeped, bringing me back to the kitchen and away from Karina. I plopped the square of lasagna onto a plate, grabbed a fork, and carried it into the living room.
Thanks, bro.
Phillips's eyes were a bit lighter, a little more life to them. He blew on the steaming food and took a bite. Inspecting the plate as he chewed, he looked pleased. A touch of color came back into his cheeks as he scarfed down the whole thing. I offered him more and he followed me into the kitchen. You seem to be feeling better.
I feel okay, then not, then okay again. There's a sense of panic.
He seemed like he wasn't sure of the exact emotion, but I could relate all too well. Yeah, that's understandable. Your body is used to being on guard. Your mind, too. And now it's like, what am I supposed to be doing?
That's exactly it. I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to be doing. And not just about the fact that my wife hates me now, but I literally don't have a clue what the fuck I'm supposed to be doing. Like, even now, I'm eating. Then what? I don't have to report to the company until tomorrow. What am I supposed to do all day?
He scratched at his head and stared at the numbers counting down on the microwave. You're going to help me and Fisher today. If you want to have a place to live, you got to help us finish the flooring next door. If we bust our asses, we can get everything done in a week.
If she even wants to live with me anymore, you should have seen the way she was looking at me like I was some fucking psychopath, like she had never met me before.
She hasn't met this version of you before, and you need to think about how she must feel. That makes it easier to process if you try to put yourself in her shoes. The man she married didn't come home. You were drunk off your ass. Did you really try to force her to have sex with you? Just because she's your wife doesn't mean you can sexually assault her. I felt my anger bubbling, but tried to keep it at bay, knowing it wouldn't be helpful right now. He shook his head.
I didn't assault her, but I was way out of line. I've sent her so many apologies, but she still doesn't want to see me. I was wrong, that's for damn sure. But I don't know how to get her to forgive me and make her understand that nothing like that will ever happen again.
Can you guarantee that? He nodded, his eyes dead set on mine.
Yes. I fucking missed her, and you know it's been a while.
I clenched the countertop. That's not an excuse for what you did.
I know. He threw his arms up in defense. That's not what I meant. But it will never, ever happen again.
I'll kill you myself if it does, and if I'm gone, I'll turn you in and have someone else do the job for me. The microwave interrupted the tension for a second.
I fucked up, I know. I'm going to be on my best behavior from now on, and I'm not going to drink again.
And give her space and the time she needs, I added. We were both quiet as the food whirled around in the microwave between us.
Martin.
He said my name in a whisper, and his gaze was far away.
Do you ever want to go back?
Back where?
Over there.
Phillips jerked his head toward the front of the house, but I knew where he meant. To be honest, yeah, sometimes. I feel a bit lost here trying to figure out who I am without the uniform, what my purpose in life is without the guise of fighting for freedom that will never come. I leaned my arms against the island.
I keep thinking I should have stayed. When I got called into the tent, I said yes right off the bat. But now I think I might regret it. It might be because it's so new, but at least there I knew what I was supposed to be doing.
Who called you in? I asked, even though I knew who'd orchestrated the entire thing. All roads led back to Karina's dad. No one else cared about a low-level PFC coming home early. The question was why. You don't just happen to get called into your commander's tent with orders to leave early from a goddamn war.
Our commander. I didn't get a lot of information and I didn't ask. I was just ready to get the fuck out of there at the earliest possible time. I hopped on a plane and here I am. But now I'm supposed to be a husband and a father soon.
The pure panic in his eyes was very clear. Truthfully, even if I didn't know about Ellie and Fisher, I would be utterly terrified. Let's focus on one thing at a time. Today we get the shit done next door. Fisher will be here soon to help. He's gotten damn good. He's nearly faster than me at all this.
Speaking of Fisher, he's so different now. I didn't know him much before, but I met him at Mendoza's right before we left last time, and he was just a kid. Now he's, I don't know, not to sound like a whiny bitch, but I swear he doesn't like me.
I considered asking Phillips more about Karina's father, and if they'd spoken directly, or if my paranoia was making him more of a game maker in our lives than he was, but decided not to yet. You sound like a whiny bitch, 100%. I laughed a little. Not because it was funny, but because all our lives were so fucked up right now.
And you're fucking his sister. How does that work with you two being so buddy-buddy?
I'm not fucking his sister. I'm in love with her. We're together, not only fucking. So it doesn't matter what her brother thinks about it or what anyone thinks. Phillips began to talk with his mouth full of food.
I'm not judging or saying shit. I'm curious. Because you've never even looked at a woman, even Turner, who wanted to rip your clothes off many, many times. What made you fall for the Fisher girl?
Karina, I corrected him. Her name is Karina, so call her that and only that. And everything. Everything about her made me love her and makes me love her more every day. So keep that in mind when you mention her name in front of or behind me. Now stop asking me about my love life and eat so we can get shit done.
Chapter 10. Karina. My relationship with Austin started slowly. I know it's wrong. Elodie sat on the edge of the massage bed in my workroom, with her legs dangling over the edge. We were both between clients and had about 20 minutes until our next ones. I'm sorry for keeping it from you. This was the last thing I thought would happen. You don't need to apologize to me. I'm not judging your character. I don't know where to start. She sighed, worry etching her beautiful face. You know, you don't need to explain or defend yourself to me, Al. I only need to know what I can do to help you, both of you. I put my hand on her shoulder, and she squeezed it gently with her own. I can't believe I didn't realize what was going on. I always say how perceptive I am, but looking back, even at the camping trip, it was so obvious. But I tried to bring my thoughts back to the issue at hand. This isn't about me. The important decision you need to make is what do you want? Do you want to try to make things work with your husband or be with my brother? The sentence felt so ridiculous that I lit another candle to try to make myself feel a little calmer. I had spent the last 40 minutes moving things around on my shelves and making sure my new mood light from Walmart worked effectively. It cast either pastel or stormy colors on the ceilings and walls. I was definitely in a stormy mood, so I set it to that.
I know what I want, but I don't want to ruin Austin's life. This is bigger than what I want, and he's leaving soon, so I can't expect him to change his whole life, and I'm having a baby.
Philip's baby. She pressed her hand against her round belly. In tumultuous moments like this, it was somehow easy to forget that soon there would be another person, a newborn baby, here to add to the equation. I'm sure my brother doesn't see this as life-ruining. He's not the most responsible person. Elodie winced at my words. I wasn't helping, but was trying. But even though I was blind, I can tell he is different with you, I explained. I've never seen him take care of anyone but himself, but he's been trying with you. I put my hands in my hair, pulling the rubber band out and redoing my ponytail to distract myself. This is coming out wrong, I'm sorry. You should ask Austin what he wants before assuming you'll be ruining anything for him.
This is such a mess that I didn't mean to make. Je n'arrive pas à me décider. Maybe I should go back to my parents? Maybe they were right the whole time.
I stayed quiet while she processed her emotions in real time. She went back and forth from French to English. I couldn't relate to her stress level, and I didn't have a solution to offer her, so it was best to let her vent. I can't be with Philip anymore. For so many reasons, not only because I had an affair and betrayed him. She looked around the small room, her eyes landing on the cloudy ceiling. But I love someone else. Not just an affair, I love Austin more than I knew was possible. I have never felt so much for anyone except my child. Austin was so lucky to be loved by someone with a heart like Elodie's. I wanted to say that, but she continued.
I'm never going to feel safe with Philip again. If he even wants to stay married, that is. I don't know if my baby will be safe here either.
Her shoulders shook. I reached for her hand and squeezed it. I couldn't imagine the complexity of what she was feeling, trying to tie right and wrong together, trying to balance what she should do and what she wanted to do. Would you be happy if you went back to France? Is that really viable? I asked her, doubting that she would make that choice.
I'm not going to be happy anyway. I will never be happy, Karina. I need to accept that.
She whispered under her breath.
Je ne me sens plus chez moi en France.
What does that mean? I asked.
I'm no longer at home there. I feel so much more at home with you.
I love having you, you know that. But what makes you say that you'll never be happy? You're so young, you have your whole life ahead of you. Sure, you're going to struggle, we all do. That's our rite of passage as human beings. But what on earth makes you so sure that you'll never be happy again?
Because, Karina, I know how it feels to be in love now and to be loved. Now that it's been taken from me, I'll only know the bitterness of regret and remorse. This is the punishment I must accept for the actions of my heart,
she explained, sadness overcasting her words. I was speechless for once, not knowing what to say or how to react. I also now knew how it felt to be loved and to love another, and if that was taken away from me suddenly, without warning, I would feel the same. I usually had some sort of advice, something to add or offer, but I was blank.
Is it awful that I wish I would have had a little bit more time? Just another week, another day, or even another hour with Austin in that bubble of happiness. That's all I keep thinking. I know it's wrong, but I was so happy. For the first time in my life, I felt like I wasn't lost anymore. Like I was capable of being happy and a good mom, like I wasn't completely crazy for moving here. It felt like things made sense, and now I'm scared again and miserable and can't believe I'm bringing a baby into this situation. I never thought I was a bad person, but I am.
I moved to hug her, petting her soft hair with one of my hands. Her stomach, as full as ever, pressed between us. You are not a bad person, Elodie. Life is complicated and uncontrollable.
I know your guilt is crushing you right now, but you are not a bad person. I'm sorry for everything. I didn't mean for this to happen. Thank you for being here for me.
She hugged me tighter, and I felt the warmth of tears touch my neck. I'm always going to be here for you, no matter what. You're not alone and never will be. This will take a bit to figure out, but I'll be here every step of the way, I promised her. Je t'aime. That's how you say it, right? Elodie laughed.
Yes, that's perfect. Je t'aime toi aussi.
I closed my stinging eyes, finding myself wishing that she and my brother could run away together and raise the baby and live happily ever after. I knew that was so far from reality, that there was no possible way this could end well, but still, I daydreamed about it for a moment. When I thought about the futures of Elodie, my brother, Kale, and Phillips, I had a pit in my stomach. Whether it was my anxiety or not, I couldn't shake the feeling that this was only the beginning of something bigger, something really bad for all of us. We closed our shift with three more clients. An unusually busy day, but we both needed the distraction, to say the least. I smiled down at my phone, staring at the selfies Kale had sent me throughout the day. I felt silly holding my phone up and giggling at my reflection on the screen. After 10 attempts, I made a silly face and sent it before I could change my mind. He responded immediately. "Wow, my first selfie from you. I'm honored." "Shush, I'm trying." "As I said, I'm honored." "How was work? Are you home yet?" I looked around the messy lobby. I still needed to vacuum, wipe the counters down, move my bedding from the washer to the dryer, wait for it to dry, restock and fold the towels, do the bookkeeping for the day, check the schedule for the next day, and shut down the computer. I would be at the spa for at least another hour and a half minimum, and it was already 8. My eyes burned and I yawned while I responded to his text. "I have to clean up. Elodie's gone home. Do you want help?" "No, you're already so busy." "I appreciate you offering, but I'm going to put my phone away and do it all as fast as I can. I'll text you when I'm home, okay?" He didn't respond as fast as he had been, so I put my distracting phone away and got to work. As I was wiping the front glass with a towel, I nearly jumped out of my skin when someone appeared through the little dots of cleaner I'd sprayed. My heart rate dropped when I realized it was Kale. I quickly unlocked the door and let him in. "What are you doing here?" "I said I didn't need help," I said, though I was so damn glad to see him. "No." He kissed my forehead, hugging me with one arm, and then kissed the top of my head. "You said you didn't want help, not that you didn't need it." "You're annoying," I smiled, hugging him tighter.
"Thank you."
He laughed, his chest gently shaking against my body. Kale took the towel from my hand and gently turned my shoulders toward the hall that led to the treatment rooms.
"You take that side, and I got this side. Deal?"
he offered, his beautiful face and warm voice rushing over me. I nodded as he locked the door, deciding that instead of arguing with him or trying to do it all myself, I would accept his help without a fight for once. We finished all the closing duties in less than 30 minutes, and the shop had never been cleaner or more organized.
"Two is always better than one,"
he said as he wound up the cord on the vacuum. "You must be so exhausted." I pointed to the paint, dirt, and unrecognizable matter covering his clothes. He was dressed in a black t-shirt and sweats, but they were so covered in stuff that they looked like a designer outfit that was made to look that way.
"So do you,"
he countered.
"How's Elodie feeling?"
"Her feet are really swollen, and I couldn't stand the idea of her being on them any longer today. Plus, Austin is at my house, so I figured I would give them some time." Kale rolled the vacuum past me, and I followed him down the hall to put it back in the closet.
"He's been practically withering away at my place the last few days without seeing her."
"Are we accomplices in this whole thing? Like, we both know this is wrong, but we're basically aiding and abetting an affair." I leaned against the wall.
"It's not so black and white," he said.
"I never thought I would be okay with an affair under any circumstance, but I feel so bad for them. Phillips, too, to a point, but honestly, I hate him, so I don't feel that bad for him. But does that make me just as guilty?" Kale stepped toward me, cupping my face with his hands.
"You're not guilty of anything. They're adults, and they make their own choices. As people who care about them, all we can do is hope for the best and mind our business."
I couldn't help but laugh. "You make it sound so easy. Mind my business, as if I'm capable of that." His espresso-colored eyes shone at me, humor in them, despite the intensity of the topic.
You're capable, when you're distracted.
The air between us shifted and chills ran over me as he put his arms on either side of me, practically pinning me against the wall. Distraction sounds nice, I gulped.
It does.
His mouth moved to my chin, slowly kissing across my jawline. He lifted me up, my thighs wrapped around his waist, and we moved into my treatment room, never breaking at the mouth. His kiss was wild, more desperate than expected, but I mimicked it, letting my built-up longing crackle and burst between us as he laid me on the bed. I never in a million years would have imagined myself as the type to do something like this at my workplace, but my house and Kale's were full, and we both deserved the distraction, the connection that would drown out the rest of the world. Chapter 11. Karina. A cookout? All of us? Do we think that's a good idea? I asked Kale, leaning up a little so my chin rested on his bare chest. It felt like we had barely spent time together in the past week, even though we had found tiny ways to spend even 10 minutes together. Him helping me at work, me bringing food by his place. He even sat with me while I got an oil change and tire rotation during the break between his discharge meetings. We still hadn't had a full conversation about what was going to happen to us in the very, very near future, but that was a future Karina problem. Right now, the idea of losing him, even to a city in the same state, made me want to curl into a ball and scream until my throat burst.
I'm not saying it's the best idea, but it's happening anyway, and we can either go or not go, but I probably have to go to make sure everyone survives. He said in a low voice, with a touch of humor.
It would be funny if it wasn't reality. I sighed, closing my eyes as he brushed my hair to tuck it behind my ear. His fingers played with my earlobe, an extremely relaxing touch. I wish you weren't the designated babysitter, but thank God there is one, I guess.
I'm tired of being the babysitter too. Trust me. But Karina, if you don't want to go, you really don't have to.
I shook my head. Anywhere you go, I go.
I love the sound of that.
He grinned. My heart ached as it sang. So when is it?
Tomorrow night.
He smiled bigger to counteract my eye roll. Of course it is. I do miss Gloria. I haven't seen her in a week and a bit. I feel like we've been in a vortex.
We have. You've been working your ass off, and I've been trying to get that damn place done so I don't have two idiots who hate each other but love the same woman staying in my house.
Do you think Phillips really loves her? I asked Kale. He squeezed me to him, kissing my forehead.
I'm not sure. For sure he thinks he does, but that doesn't mean he loves her the way he should.
We all have our own versions of love, and that's hard for me to understand. It seems so easy. You love someone and respect them, protect them, make their lives easier. Simple. But he doesn't do any of those things for her. Maybe he did before, but they hardly knew each other when they got married. Kale agreed.
But your brother, he loves her. He's doing everything he can do to protect her, even though it's hurting him. So, he loves her in a different way.
In a better way, I added.
I wouldn't be able to be in the same room as Phillips if that was you. I would have killed him the moment he even thought about touching a single hair on your head,
Kale said. The threat came out casually, but I could feel it was genuine. I was so proud of Elodie for standing her ground and putting herself and the baby first. The road ahead for her was going to be bumpy as hell, to say the least, but as a group or a family, it didn't seem as terrifying. I was relieved that we all had each other and someone like Kale to watch over and handle all of us. The next night, I couldn't decide what to wear. and my room was a tornado of every item of clothing I owned. I stood in front of the mirror in a loose-fitting black dress with thin straps and buttons at the top, and an oversized tan cardigan around my shoulders. I debated whether to wear the leg warmers I'd gotten at a garage sale last year after I saw someone on Pinterest wearing them, but pulled them over my legs anyway. Elodie came into my room as I scrunched the tops down a bit.
"You look so cute! I love this outfit, very autumn," she gushed, a genuine smile on her face and light in her eyes. "Très chic."
She was wearing jeans and a long sweater, tight at the stomach but loose everywhere else, and her hair was tied low against her neck with a few loose strands by her ears.
"You look so cute too.
Are the leg warmers weird?" I asked, doing a half twirl in the mirror.
"No, I love them," she said,
gently untucking some of my hair from under my cardigan.
"And I love when you have your hair like this,"
she fluffed my wild hair. I'd let it air dry, and the universe was on my side today, the waves falling in the right place for once.
"Thank you."
I leaned against her a little and stared at our reflections. Two women trying their hardest to figure out life and where we fit into it. A beautiful and terrifying thing.
"We're okay, right?" she asked,
her eyes dropping a little in the mirror. I nodded, still leaning against her.
"Yes, we're okay. We will figure all of this out together, so don't you worry about me."
"Are you sure you want to come?" I asked her for the third time today. Nodding, she assured me,
"I'll be fine. Philip isn't coming, and if he does, he will behave himself. I'm going to drive in case I want to leave early. Don't worry."
She kissed my cheek and reached for the lip gloss pile on the top of my dresser. Opening the top of one, she stepped closer and swiped the soft applicator across my lips. It was such an intimate thing to do, such a best friend thing to do. In the middle of all the things I could worry about happening tonight, instead I found myself grateful to have her in my life. I rode with Elodie to Mendoza's, where Cale and my brother were meeting us. Cale wanted to drive me, but it didn't make sense to have him go out of the way and come off post to get me. He eventually agreed and asked me to text him when we were leaving so we could arrive at the same time. I could hear the roar of his truck bellowing in the distance as we pulled up. What meticulous timing on his end. Elodie's entire demeanor changed when my brother stepped out of Cale's truck, and Austin practically ran to the door to open it for her. Cale was a bit slower, but I waited to have him open the door for me, thinking about what it would be like if Elodie wasn't pregnant and married and my brother could love her without complications. But of course, life wasn't fair like that. Cale hugged me as if he hadn't seen me in weeks, and I relaxed into the warmth of his body. He was wearing an oatmeal-colored cotton sweatshirt and matching joggers, stark white sneakers as usual. My favorite type of outfit of his. He smelled so good, so clean and comforting.
"You look fucking adorable,"
he told me, gently lifting the delicate moon-shaped necklace off my neck. His eyes traveled from the top of my wavy hair to the bottom of my loafers.
"Thank you."
I smiled up at him, hugging him again, wishing we were going to my house alone instead of to a crowded cookout, but I was happy to have time with him either way. Both of us purposely avoided looking at my brother and Elodie as we made our way to Mendoza's front door. Before we even knocked, Gloria opened the door and grabbed me into a hug.
"Karina, I'm so glad you came," she squeezed me.
She smelled like a feminine floral perfume and shampoo. Her long black hair was as silky as ever, straight and parted in the middle, and she was dressed casually in a black crop top with long sleeves and low-rise jeans with wide legs. She always looked so effortlessly cool. Her makeup was light, her skin glowing, and she didn't look as exhausted as she usually did. That made me so happy. Things must be better with Mendoza.
"Everyone's in the back. How have you been?"
She wrapped her arm around me and looked back to wave at Kale, my brother, and Elodie. Good, just, you know, there's a lot going on. I glanced back at the distance my brother and Elodie were putting between themselves, trying not to draw attention to the obvious. Yeah, I'd fucking say. Gloria smiled, but I couldn't tell how she felt about the whole thing. I knew she liked Austin and Elodie, but I wondered if she was judging them. Rightfully so, but I wished no one would. She didn't seem like the judgmental type at all, though, so I ignored my own paranoia. No one is going to bring up the picture, she whispered to me, as if she could read my mind. I've warned them all, and if they do, I'll beat their ass. I had nearly forgotten that photo of them floating around, and we'd never figured out who'd sent it or why, or if Phillips had seen it yet. But I mentally crossed my fingers that everyone could keep their promise to Gloria and not say anything to my brother and Elodie tonight. The pit in my stomach grew, and I couldn't tell if my body was going to its usual anxious place or if it was trying to warn me. I would find out soon enough.
Chapter 12. Kale. Gloria had stolen Karina from me by sitting in the chair next to her and pulling the two seats close together, leaving no room for me. I was glad to see them bonding, so I wasn't going to sulk, but the more people who showed up, the more I kept my eyes on Karina. She hadn't moved from that chair since we'd gotten here about an hour ago, and she was on her third drink. Not that I was counting. I was still on my first beer, knowing I'd be driving and not knowing what the fuck the night would bring, so feeling that I needed to stay as alert as possible. No one had pestered Fisher or Elodie yet, but there were more than a few glances their way when Fisher sat next to her and Tony. Noticeably, Fisher was drinking a Coke from the can instead of alcohol and had declined Mendoza's finest tequila.
So you're out next week. What are you gonna do?
Mendoza asked me as we stared at our women, who were cracking up over something. Seeing Karina relax enough to laugh felt so good. I have no fucking clue. I thought I knew what I was going to do. I have that place in Atlanta, but I'm not sure what I want to do anymore.
I know damn well what you want to do, and it involves that one.
He tipped the bottle of tequila in his hand toward Karina. She won't go with me, and I can't leave her here, but I already bought the house and will lose money on it if I sell it right away. For the first time, I don't have a plan.
Why don't you get married?
I laughed at that, taking a swig of my beer. Ha! Yeah! Getting married will solve everything.
That's the army way.
He joined me in laughter and took a drink straight from the bottle.
Why won't she come with you? If I were her, I would get the fuck out of here.
She has her house here and her dad, even though she hates him. It's complicated. I think she's afraid of depending on me. I surprised myself with my honesty.
But you're the most dependable motherfucker in the world.
I shook my head. I haven't been to her. As I watched her hold her cup as Gloria poured vodka into it, I allowed myself to wonder what life would be like if Karina and I got married, if she didn't have so many ties to this place, and if I wasn't so desperate to cut mine with it. The sun had gone down and a few of the younger privates had gone, leaving a smaller group of us. Only Tony, her husband, Tharp, Lawson, Mendoza, Gloria, Elodie, and Fisher were left. We were all sitting around the fire pit. Karina was on my lap now, sitting sideways with her legs dangling. Her shoes were off, but the high sock things she was wearing were keeping her legs warm. She was relaxed, drunk, and definitely giggly. She wrapped her arms around my neck. Her public displays of affection were surprising and welcomed. Mendoza was offering shots again, and Karina accepted. You've been drinking vodka. If you mix your liquor, you're going to get sick, baby. I told her quietly, knowing there was about a 10% chance she would listen to me. Baby, she winked at me. I laughed at her and she kissed my cheek. Baby sounds nice. How about you take it for me then, and I'll drink vodka. I have to drive. Give it to me. Tharp reached for the bottle and Karina went to hand it to him, but stopped right before he could reach it. You can at least ask nicely. She said. He looked at me, then Karina, clearly pissed at being called out.
Yeah, don't be a dick,
Gloria backed Karina up. Tharp seemed to be deciding if he wanted to go up against the two of them, but after one look back at me, he simply smiled and rephrased his sentence.
Can I have it, please?
The words were pulled out of him, but Karina smiled happily and handed the bottle to him. Tony started talking about some upcoming FRG meeting and how much planning she had to do. Elodie offered to help her, and I zoned out as they talked about tablecloths, and Mendoza and Fisher talked about some football game that I couldn't give a fuck about. I buried my head in Karina's neck. This was the first time I had ever been publicly affectionate with a woman in front of my guys. Wanna go soon? I asked her, gently placing a kiss on her neck. She nodded.
Definitely. 5 minutes?
She asked, and I nodded. The conversation moved around us, and Karina teased me, softly running her fingertips over my neck and adjusting her body on my lap enough to make me hard.
If you don't stop, I'll take you to my truck right now, and we won't make it home,
I said against her ear. She shivered and lifted her shoulder to her ear, cheeks beyond flushed, glowing in the light of the fire.
Sounds good to me.
She rocked her ass against me again, and I couldn't take it anymore. We're leaving, I began to announce as someone walked out of the back door heading toward us. I immediately recognized Phillips's physique.
My invite must have gotten lost in the mail.
Everyone's reactions rippled. Elodie and Fisher moved identically, both stiffening. Karina took the longest to realize who was there, and once she did, she turned her body to face him but stayed on my lap. The entire group's energy changed.
Yo, glad you came.
Mendoza stood up to hug him, being the first to break the ice.
Really? Since I wasn't invited, I didn't think you'd be glad to see me.
Phillips's voice was off. He was impaired.
It was a last minute thing, not a big deal,
Mendoza said, pointing to an empty chair a few feet away from me and Karina. I wrapped my arms around her waist and pulled her even closer. No way in hell were we leaving now.
How's it going? It's been a while.
Tharp patted Phillips's back as he passed.
Been better, but still breathing,
he replied, his eyes on Elodie. She smiled at him, but anyone with eyes could see that she was beyond uncomfortable and surprised, to say the least. The worry on her face made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I didn't think Fisher realized it, but he had turned his body to face her, creating a small barrier between her and Phillips.
Breathing is good, Gloria added awkwardly.
Phillips sat down on the plastic chair and put his elbows on his knees, staring from one of us to the next. It was so fucking awkward and tense that it made me want to tell everyone it was time to wrap it up and go home. I watched him.
What's there to drink? Is no one going to offer me a drink?
He smiled. The fire reflecting on his face made him look menacing.
Philip, I don't think you should,
Elodie began to say, but he held up a hand to cut her off.
Honey,
he said in the least affectionate tone I'd ever fucking heard.
I don't think you should tell me what I should and shouldn't be doing.
Karina tensed and turned to him.
Don't talk to her like that.
I groaned, knowing she was right, but wishing she wasn't as drunk as she was, because I could see exactly what was going to happen if this escalated. It wasn't going to be good at fucking all. I lifted Karina a little and held her at her waist, watching Phillips as he glared at her before speaking.
Sorry, but what do you have to do with me talking to my wife?
Phillips, I warned him. Karina attempted to move her body, but I held on to her so she didn't go far. I pulled her back onto my lap, and she leaned her torso toward him.
Because she's my friend, and you're being an asshole and embarrassing her, and yourself.
Karina's words seemed to crackle with the fire. My body was in full preparation mode now. I planted my feet in the grass and scanned the group, my eyes landing on Phillips as he laughed.
I'm embarrassing her?
He smiled, pulling at his mouth and thin lips with one hand.
Stop it, both of you,
Elodie pleaded. Fisher looked like he was 1 second away from exploding. He was visibly shaking.
No, I want to know how I'm embarrassing you. Do you feel embarrassed, Al?
Elodie put her face in her hands and shook her head gently.
I'm going to go.
But I just got here,
Phyllis retorted.
And someone needs to tell me how I'm embarrassing my wife by being here. This is my unit, not hers or yours.
He pointed at Karina, and my adrenaline began to spike.
They're the ones who don't belong. Enough,
Fisher yelled. Karina jerked in my lap.
I can smell the whiskey on you from here. You need to shut the fuck up or leave,
Fisher hissed, leaning up like he was ready to pounce at any moment. I rearranged Karina again so I could move between them if I needed to. It was clear that no one knew what to do or what Phillips would do.
And I can smell my fucking wife on you from here.
Speaking of embarrassing, the two of you,
he pointed at Fisher and then Elodie,
are the ones who should be embarrassed.
Okay, okay. This is a party, and you're fucking up the vibes,
Mendoza interrupted.
Either chill the fuck out or leave my house.
Whoa, really, dude? You're taking the drug addict side over your battle buddy? He's been fucking my wife, but I'm the bad guy?
Philip seethed. He stood up and kicked the chair he'd been sitting in, knocking it to the ground. Fisher was on his feet now, and I put Karina on the chair and stood up, moving between them. Karina and Elodie looked like they were going into shock as everything from the night sky to the fire to the chairs to the faces around me began to spin slowly, moving out of focus. I was back in Afghanistan, the smell of tar and dirt filling my nose, the sound of round after round of bullets sweeping next to my ears, so close the heat pulsed from them onto my skin. I felt my hands hitting against my ears in the present, but I couldn't bring my mind back to it with my body.
Kale!
I could hear Karina's voice, but could only see crumbling buildings, the devastating looks on the faces of nearly starving children, whose only crime was being born in the wrong country. I shook my head, trying to find her, and felt her arms wrap around my back, squeezing my torso. I blinked. Bits of reality began to shimmer through in waves. Mendoza was between Fisher and Phillips, and Karina screamed. The sound pulled me fully into the present, and without thinking, I moved as soon as I saw the black gun in Phillips's hand. It was pointed directly at Fisher. Karina's and Elodie's voices melted together into a swirl of agony, and I felt the metal of his pistol dig into my hip as I tackled Phillips to the ground. I reached between us and gripped the pistol, pushing it out of his reach. There were too many voices to know who was saying what, but all I cared about was that Phillips was pinned beneath me, unable to move. He thrashed, and I dug his wrist into the ground with all my body weight on his thighs.
Call the MPs, Tony screeched. Call them right now.
Get off of me,
Phillips yelled, still trying to move. In my mind, I was gripping his throat until his eyes went blank, moving my hand to his chin and snapping his neck. But in reality, I let him live, but limited his air supply enough to weaken his liquor-fueled body. My mind felt like a vast body of water, a murky lake with no bottom, only mud and endless darkness, waves, and silence. Waves and silence.
I'm not going to hurt anyone. I'm fucking around.
Phillips tried to explain, his voice so strained I could barely understand him. I couldn't gauge how hard I was squeezing, and I didn't care. He was the enemy now. I had never wanted to hurt anyone, even while at war and having to, but the thought of ending Phillips's life was overwhelming. I felt out of touch with my body as I let go of my grip, and he coughed, just catching his breath in time for my fist to collide with his cheekbone. I felt first a rush of warm blood on my hands, then splatter against my face. Hands pulled at my arms, my back, tugging at my sweatshirt, but I couldn't stop. I didn't want to. Finally, I was ripped off.